All right, welcome back to another episode of the Tim Cavey Show after over a year hiatus from the podcast. Here we are back, getting things rolling along. I am in Winnipeg. I'm sitting on a couch beside my beautiful wife, Christine Cavey, and across from me is my guest for this episode. And I should also say I am sitting in her living room. It's my mom, Nancy Cavey. Mom, how are you?
Very well, thanks, Tim. It's lovely to have you here, that's for sure.
Yeah, so we should give more information, I guess, and say the date is December 21, 2021. And we are sort of in the midst of some family reunions of sorts. We've got brother Andrew sitting at a dining room table behind me. And you are in your brand new condo, we should say. Tell us a little bit about that. When did you move into this location?
We sold our detached home and moved in here at the end of June. And we're in North Kildonan. We have crossed the river.
Yes, and I have to say, Mom, beautiful place. Like, just feels like home. Your building is so quiet, peaceful. You've got the river out your window. Has it met your expectations so far?
Oh, yes, very, very much. People ask us if it's quiet here, and we say, yes, we are the noisy ones.
Well, yes, and actually, just about an hour ago, Dad and Phil and Andrew and I went out for a walk on the river, and as we were leaving the building, one of your neighbors scolded us a little bit, saying that we should be wearing masks, so when we were in indoor spaces, so a little bit of trouble from the locals. Sorry about that. Well, Mom, thank you for agreeing to do this interview. I'm thrilled that you are willing to share your time and insights with my very small but select audience. If you are tuning in to the show for the first time, I want to say welcome to the Tim Cavey Show. I believe in the power of content creation to build meaning, share ideas, support learning, and enhance relationships. And that's really the mission behind this podcast. I'd also like to use the show to interview guests who have meaning and significance in my life. And with that in mind, I'm continuing an ambitious project that I'm calling the Legacy Series. What I want to do in these episodes is interview parents, aunts, uncles, and other older individuals who have contributed to my life. I want to get to know them better, hear their stories, and help to preserve their legacies for their families and future generations. I decided to start this series with my parents because clearly no two people have had a bigger impact on who I am as a man, a husband, and a step-parent today. It's been fun to chat with my dad on the first two episodes of this series, and now I have the privilege of speaking with my mom, Nancy Cavey, who recently turned 68 years old. So, Mom, want to dig into your life, past and present. Why don't we start by telling us, or why don't you start, rather, by telling us a little bit more about yourself. Where do you live today, and who is in your immediate family?
We live in, my husband and I, Bill and I, live in Winnipeg, Manitoba, and we were married in Ottawa. With his career with the federal government, we have located in Winnipeg, then St. John's, Newfoundland, and back in Winnipeg, and raised three of our four sons, but one was born in Newfoundland. However, came back to really raise him. He doesn't have much memory of Newfoundland. We certainly have had life here predominantly in Winnipeg, Manitoba. This is home for our children, who are now grown, and the significant point in our life was when my husband changed his career. Halfway through, he resigned, let's say, from the federal government and took on a position in a Christian school setting. So that changed an awful lot and has shaped our world here.
Hello, dear listener. Tim here with a quick editor's note. Just wanted to let you know you're about to hear some raw audio, some bad audio on my side, and the fault is mine here. I received a phone call during my conversation with my mom, and when a phone call comes in, it disrupts the voice memo recording. And so once the phone call was completed, I forgot to hit the record button again. So for my audio, I'm relying on my mom's recording for the next 15 or 16 minutes or so until you'll eventually hear me come back on my side once I realize my mistake. Anyway, thank you so much for listening to this legacy episode. Let's get back to it.
That's right. We'll probably come back to that a little bit later. But next, I want to talk about your grandparents. This is unfamiliar territory unfamiliar territory for me, for sure, and for my siblings. So I want to sort of unearth some of this history and try to preserve it a little bit. So let's start with your dad's side. If you can recall, and for the listeners, you're on your dad's side, the last name we are talking about is?
McAlpine. Mm-hmm. My dad lost his father when he was about 5 years old due to diabetes. But this is in southern Ontario, in a true sort of Scottish community. It was their forefathers that came over from Scotland, but definitely a lot of Scottish heritage in the vicinity and the region. So I've got
here your dad's parents were named Malcolm, Mac, and Gertrude.
Right. Yeah, for sure. And I know of their parents, so that's kind of fun. Ooh. I, of course, never have met them. And then, of course, because my grandfather died at an early age, my grandmother eventually remarried, but that was well into her older age. Not an old lady so much, but the children definitely had grown and gone. And so she remarried, and so we got to know him as Grandpa Dobbin. And it was Grandma and Grandpa Dobbin, though, of course, it's the McAlpine thread that we follow.
Okay, so I might have gotten a little bit lost there, and apologies to the listeners, but your Grandpa McAlpine passed away, and your grandmother remarried.
Correct.
A man named Dobbin.
Right. Okay. Douglas Dobbin.
But, yeah. Of course, the McAlpine seed had already been sown by that time. So.
Mm-hmm.
Got it. Okay. So that's, I'm looking at some notes from our last conversation, and your grandfather was born in Dutton, Ontario?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. So Dutton, Chatham, maybe Rodney, all those small towns, and they're all kind of factored in. My grandfather he bred horses and sold them to the army and to other places, living on a farm. He also took them to the winter fair in Toronto, and so that was his history. And then, of course, when he died, then my grandmother carried on on the farm, because her sons were old enough to carry on as well, though it was hiring extra hands, farm hands. And she also would be gone for lengths of time because she was a teacher and taught in places that were not next door, sort of. So yeah, lots that went on there in that farming community. Oh, and my grandfather was also an auctioneer. And then my uncle embraced that as well. Uncle Ken embraced that.
And so auctioneer, probably selling, agriculture-related, I'm imagining selling cattle.
Honestly, I don't know if it was that or if they included household goods. I honestly don't know.
I've also gotten my notes here that your father, who I knew fairly well during his lifetime, was only not even five years old when he lost his father. Tell me about what you can remember about his thoughts about that and how he processed that through his lifetime.
Well, being a Scot in that heritage, you didn't express your feelings a lot, and you just didn't indulge in a lot of, deep-seated feelings. You just got on with it. And, got through the day and the month and so forth. So, he never really expressed too much, except that he used to say that he was born because his father was able to live longer due to Dr. Banting having insulin. So if it wasn't for the insulin, then my father would never have been conceived or born. So that's kind of like one of the things I used to hear. But my grandmother also had kept a journal. So we saw some of the life there on the farm, but the journal was more about accounting how much of the crop had been sold and all this kind of thing. But nevertheless, it was a bit of an insight to see, you know, when Grandpa Mac was not well and that sort of thing.
Okay, so that's a good picture of your dad's side of the family. We're focusing on the grandparents, so two generations before you. Let's switch it over to, just to recap, we've got Mac and Gertrude, and then Mac passed away and he was replaced by Douglas Dobbin. Okay, and your step-grandfather. Over on your mom's side of the family, this is a set of grandparents that I had the privilege of meeting. And I won't say anything more. Why don't you tell us about them?
Well, Grandpa is from an educated family. His father was an instructor in one of the nearby colleges, Woodstock College, that I think affiliated eventually with McMaster. And so he was definitely from the academic world. And so eventually he became, right at the get-go, he became an instructor in the Northern Vocational School in Toronto. And that was his whole career. And my grandmother got her BA degree from McMaster, but she also took a great deal of art courses, probably through the university and elsewhere. So she displayed her art in many ways and was appreciated very much in different areas of social life, but mostly my grandfather was the one that brought the bread home, and my grandmother, had other interests.
So you're saying she was a gold digger?
Well, she was traditional for the most part, eh? She was at home with the children.
Right. Yeah, as most mothers would have been in that day and age. Mm-hmm.
I will say that one of the commonalities in that era was that when you had a baby, that you often had a maid, and she did at the very beginning, you know, when the baby was born. She also lost a baby, and so out of four children, only two really lived to adulthood.
Okay, so, and just recap for us the names of those children.
Robert was the baby, and then there was Phyllis, and she died at 17. She'd had scarlet fever, and that impacted her kidneys, if I remember the story. And so eventually she died of kidney failure at home. And then there's my mother, of course, who died at 60, and my uncle, who lives today.
Okay.
My Uncle John.
Uncle John, yes. And Uncle John, if you are listening to this, we love and appreciate you, and you're an important part of our family history, right?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and I'm looking at my notes here. You've got a fun note about what it looked like when they would travel together as sort of a travel team. They each had their own activities. Tell us about that.
Well, Grandma, being the artist, she loved to be able to take the opportunity to capture the beauty of the world around her with her sketch pad, and then would even make note of the colors with words, and then did some painting, but often did the painting then when she got home. So the family has all enjoyed her art. And while she did that, while she was sketching and painting and so forth, my grandfather would be walking along and picking up beautiful stones that were just the right shape. And then he would take those home then to their house in Toronto on Shields Avenue, and he would take it to the basement and get his grindstone out, a sandstone, and would get sand and water and just polish those stones till they were gleaming and shiny. So that's definitely his, what he left for much of the family.
Mom, of your four grandparents, who do you remember really connecting with the most and why?
Well, Grandma Russell, of course, was... Grandma and Grandpa were the ones that were around the most. I did meet grandma's mother, Granny. She died in her 90s. And so I did meet her and did know her a little bit, went to her funeral when I was 11. But Grandma Russell was definitely impacting on me, probably mostly because she impacted my mother, but definitely, you know, directly.
I remember visiting her a few times. I remember visiting her seniors' home or assisted living in, now the memory's going, was it Toronto or Ottawa?
In Ottawa and Brampton, too, I think.
She spent a lot of her adult years in Toronto, but then moved closer to your mom, I guess.
Yeah, she was in Ottawa first, Bell's Corners, and then in Brampton, and then eventually to Calgary.
And something I appreciated about her, she had a little bit of a flair for the dramatic and just that twinkle in her eye, you know?
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm talking about.
Oh, totally, totally. The flair. Yeah, she had a flair.
And, you know, you could just tell by the way people at her residence interacted with her.
Yeah.
She had a presence.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Yes. Her mannerisms were artistic. She was artsy, for sure.
Have you ever run with that legacy of painting and art, or how has that impacted you as a woman through your life?
Well, I certainly appreciated it, and even as a teenager would sometimes take an opportunity to go and sketch and maybe use my pastels, and was pleased with myself a little bit. But I just chose not to indulge in it too much, because I didn't really feel that I was called to that in a big way. But certainly very much appreciated, and appreciated her and her talents. And even just being in the car, she would look out at the fields and she'd talk about the ochre, you know, the different shades that she would see. And so it's like she opened our eyes, you know, to the beauty.
I love that phrase that you just said, because I think that's the calling of an artist, really. That's someone who, in our belief tradition, is someone who is sharing creation, the creation of God, the glory of God in a new way with other people. And I think she did that really well. Something I appreciate too about painting is that in general, you do improve with practice and repetition. Mm-hmm. Right? So she was a student of her craft for sure.
Also, there was this aspect to her art that was very unique, because she got involved with a mission for children in Toronto, where she created flannel graph figures and scenes and the whole business. And so although people can buy them, you know, she made them, and also included scripture verses and all that. And then she got involved with an evangelist where she made life-size flannel graphs. So that was, yes, life-size. Yeah, like the figures were life-size.
Oh, man.
So, yeah, that was amazing.
So if you're new to the wonderful world of flannel graph, these are cutout figures that often resembled biblical characters from different biblical stories. And then storytellers, often this would take place in Sunday schools or places like that, could sort of arrange these figures on an adhesive kind of surface, like a blanket or something.
Well, it's just more flannel.
It's more flannel.
Yeah. It all just sticks. Yeah.
It just sticks on there, and then you just move the figures around, and that's your original stop motion. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, kind of fun. I asked you about the painting of your grandmother. I would say, too, and shout out to your brother, Russ, if he is listening. Hello, Uncle Russ. Shout out. I think of his unique sense of humor. Would you not connect the dots between Grandpa Russell a little bit and all his limericks and that a whole, you know, a little bit of, I mean, he's no stranger to the pun.
Oh, yeah.
Would you connect the dots there with your brother a little bit?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And to this day, he has more memory of the sayings that Grandpa had. You know, we share them. We talk about it. Even these days, we talk about the things Grandpa used to say, and we would say, oh, yeah, that's right, you know, and we'd chuckle over it. But my brother is definitely, he's got a bank full of it.
Yeah, bank full. So, Uncle Russ, just a little thought here for you that maybe you need to do some, We know you've got a bank full in your mind. You got to get some of those on paper. Or maybe he has. Maybe he has. I'm not sure.
Next podcast.
Yeah, next podcast. I would love to chat with Uncle Russ at some point here. Well, Mom, when you think about the core values of your grandparents, what do you think was really important to them in life? I'm thinking of, the next generation of kids who are just running around our knees right now. What would you want to get onto the record in terms of what they stood for? What was important to them?
Well, sometimes you don't even realize what's there until you start comparing a little bit, you know, because it's normal. It's just normal. So I would say to compare their life with what we see out there today, I would say they were steady. They were all steady people. They were people that you could depend on, people that were regular, that they were, they didn't surprise you or, you know, kind of go off the rail in any way. You know what I'm saying?
They were reliable.
Reliable, that's the word. Yes, for sure. And so it was like their contentment was getting a job done and doing it well. And yeah. Mm-hmm.
Let's get back to your immediate family. When and where were your parents born, and where did they spend their growing up years?
Well, Dad was born in Dutton. He, because he grew up without a father, it was a little bit of, and he didn't really discuss it, but I kind of, you know, you put it together. He grew up with the oversight of his older brothers and the farm hands and, you know, and then the local people at school, at high school. I'm not sure. I don't think he ever really graduated from high school. So, but he was the baby, and the other brothers had gone off mostly. You know, they grew up and some more educated and some doing various careers. But my dad then just went and got work. And so it was never, you know, glorious work. You know, maybe as a salesman was where he really would shine. So that was Dad. And eventually he was in Toronto where my mother was born. My mother, she was a little bit of, you know, kind of wanting to break the mold. And so she kind of wanted to go into the nursing program because then it meant she could leave home and be in the nursing program on campus, you know, like she lived in. And I think she had a blast. Anything I see there, I see that they all thought she was the party girl. And I think we could see that even as she, growing up, I could see that twinkle in her eye kind of thing. So, but she was dependable too. So both of them then met on a bus, a city bus, and eventually got married and had a baby very quickly. And yeah, so that was life. All of a sudden now we're into having babies one after the other. And yeah, and so it was just trying to hold it together and find work and buy a brand new house together. And yeah, that was Toronto for 7 years.
Wow. Wow. So your dad is a little bit of a farm boy coming in from rural Ontario, growing up on a farm. I've got an interesting note in our old notes before this conversation that says that his brother, let me get this right, there was a housekeeper who married his oldest brother. So his brother Ken married a housekeeper, Sadie?
Yes. Yeah, Aunt Sadie. Yeah.
One of his brothers went into the Navy. One brother went to university. And then you wrote that Dad didn't finish high school, to the best of your knowledge. So tell us about that. What happened?
I don't really know. I don't think he ever really spelled it out. I think we've just kind of put it together. Okay. I think we've all agreed that, you know what, I don't think Dad finished. And in those days, it would have been grade 13. So I'm not quite sure what happened there. And maybe he just wasn't excelling. I don't know.
But much more socially acceptable, probably, especially for a kid from the farm, right?
Yeah, if you're quitting school, then you're getting work, and he got work, so.
And thinking of your mom, do you feel like there was a bit of feminist impulse there, or maybe not feminist in the sense that we think of it, but she just wanted that independence, right? She was a strong woman.
Yeah.
In terms of jumping into the nursing program. Yeah.
Yeah. And also, I think, you know, she'd already seen the suffering at home. She saw her sister, you know, getting very sick and getting a lot of attention as well. I'm putting that together. Mom never said it. So in some ways, you know, she was kind of in the shadow of her older sister. And so then I think she really wanted a life of her own. And that meant getting out of the house.
You've also got in your notes here that your dad was coming from more of a liturgical Presbyterian kind of tradition, and your mom was coming more from an evangelical kind of personal relationship with Jesus. Talk about how she influenced him to sort of change his faith experience a little bit.
Yeah, that's interesting. Dad being from the Presbyterian church was baptized as an infant, but my mother said, you know, Dad, or, you know, Bill, Jim, mm-hmm. Jim, you know,
James.
Yeah, James, Jamie, you need to have that personal relationship with Christ. It's not just that Jesus is the savior of the world, but that he's your personal savior too. And the light just kind of turned on. And he kind of understood that and thought that sounded right. And so he prayed that prayer of faith and never turned back. And my mom, yes, definitely was in a Baptist evangelical stream and had a really good, was in a good world in that sense, like learning from well-known people, especially Dr. Beamer. And yet she herself was straddling the fence a little bit until life became, you know, really serious.
Interesting. Yeah, it is a difference. And we may have some listeners who are not really coming from a faith sort of perspective, but there is a difference between, on the one hand, saying, this is my cultural religious tradition, and no, this is, on the other hand, this is really who I am. This is something that I am putting my faith into, and it's, you know, prayer, daily prayer is a part of my life, all that kind of thing. So, so your dad, let's focus on him for a moment. He's entering the workforce without a high school diploma. What do you recall about his work? What did his resume look like?
Well, I think when he married Mom, I think he was working for Bell Canada. I think it was just Bell Telephone at the time. That only lasted so long. And then he was a police officer in North York in Toronto. But then I think my mom was nursing a bit too. So I don't know how, maybe their schedules were making it hard and neither of them were getting enough sleep and yet having babies. And so that was, I can remember seeing diapers hanging in the basement because it was all cloth diapers. And three of us were in diapers at one time. So I'm sure life was a blur. And then eventually Dad got this job working for a greeting card company. And it must have been a good thing, because then they moved to Ottawa to get that job and bought a better house even than the one that they had in Toronto.
We should pause for a moment to say, too, your parents had four children. Let's go through the names, starting with the eldest.
Which is me. I'm Nancy. And then in 53 and 54, my brother Bruce was born. In 55, my brother Russell was born. And then my sister was born after that in 1961.
All right. And shout out to Aunt Tanis. If you happen to be tuning in, thank you for joining us for this conversation. And sadly, we have to report that your brother Bruce did pass away a few years ago. Mm-hmm. Now, and that's a sad note in the family story for sure. Getting back to your dad, outside of work, what do you recall as far as his hobbies or other pursuits?
I just wanted to finish with my dad that his brother Bob left the Navy, but then was working for real estate or for Allstate Insurance. And Dad really wanted to get in, but the company didn't allow family members. Eventually, they did open it up, and so Dad was an agent with Allstate, and that's how he spent most of his career. So, just to finish that off.
So, in terms of hobbies, other pursuits, mm-hmm. I know it was a different time, mm-hmm. a different age in society. When he's not working, I mean, I'm assuming he's got his evenings free when he's not selling insurance during the day. What do you recall? I mean, this is all pre-internet, pre-screen. Other than maybe three channels on cable TV, how does he occupy his time?
I would say for the most part, he just kind of sat with his coffee in the chair and waited to see what mom was going to be planning next. Or eventually, and then he remarried, and what Ruth was going to get him to do next. So, yeah, I think he was okay to be led like that. And then, of course, mom got involved. They both got involved in the church, and there was lots of, activity that they got involved in. They helped run the college and career program and stuff like that. And plus, they were involved in another mission that they're deeply involved in. So, you know, just working, working with people takes time.
And describe your dad in three words. Yeah. Now, do you want me to tell you what you wrote in your notes from the last time? Or do you want to just give it a go?
I would say dependable, mm-hmm. faithful, and reasonable.
Let's talk about Granny as I knew her. Your mother, who sadly passed on too early for her time, right? She did not... Mm-hmm. She was not blessed with the longevity of her mother, but what sort of work was she into?
Well, she was a nurse at the beginning and did some nursing throughout, and either in a practical way or in a doctor's office. And so she definitely had that clinical persona. She could speak of medicine without a lot of emotional attachment to it. And so I grew up with that to some extent, and I'm thankful for that, actually, to be able to think through, medicine on an objective level.
She would have had a few more hobbies and pursuits. I mean, she's inheriting these colorful characteristics of her parents. Talk about her hobbies and interests outside of nursing.
Well, she did a bit of painting herself, actually. And plus she loved cats, so we grew up with Siamese cats. And it wasn't a whole lot, because when you've got a busy household like that, four children, and you're trying to work make ends meet, pay the bills and all that, then you're not left with a whole lot of extra energy.
Right. She was also into music as well. True. Talk about that.
True, true. She could play the piano, and not to the degree that she would play in church, but enough for sure to enjoy playing at home, and she did, and she instilled that in me, and so I took piano lessons. So yeah, I'm thankful for that.
Describe your mother in three words.
What were the words I gave you before?
you wrote sensitive, clinical, and fun.
Okay, yeah, she was clinical on the one hand, but on the other hand, she was emotional, and sometimes that was a little bit hard for me to navigate, because my dad was reasonable, my mother was emotional, and so that says a lot there.
That's just the gender, that's just every marriage, isn't it? The man is the rational one, the wife is the...
And what were the other words I said?
Sensitive, clinical, and fun.
Oh, definitely fun. Definitely fun, yes.
I remember visiting her home, your childhood home, I think, if I have it right. And I just remember the strong perfume everywhere. She loved the perfumes and the scents and all the pearls.
True.
And very colorful kind of patterned dresses. And she had that theatrical feel a little bit as well.
And that showed up also in the house decor. Mm-hmm. She had, certain themes, like in the living room and dining room for a while, it was all about fall colors, and so she enjoyed that sort of thing.
She had a really cool organ. Yeah. in the corner of the living room with the different. Now, this was probably a relatively new feature when I showed up, but it was, you could turn those switches and turn on the bossa nova rhythms and like get a pump in and, you know, do the different sounds. I remember that too. That was cool. Okay. Let's talk about that childhood home. And there may have been a few locations, but when you think about life at home, tell us about one of your fond family memories. What was that life like?
Well, I think the vacations were probably the highlights. You know, everybody packing the car. Like, Mom would get a trunk and pack everything in the trunk, and we'd either go to the island, for which was in Muskoka, for a couple of weeks, or we'd go camping with the tent and so forth. So definitely those were highlights, I think, and just a change from the routine.
And in terms of family life, would you describe it as happy, peaceful, full of tension, fighting? How would you describe the family life?
I would say it was really wonderful. And from my perspective, like I've often said, life was so boring, it was wonderful. Because it is peaceful. You know what to expect. You know, there's not any big surprises. And my mother and father rarely argued in front of us. If there was an issue, they went upstairs to the bedroom. And that did not happen very often even. So life was very peaceful, really.
Maybe some of those trips up to the bedroom were not to settle arguments. I'll just put that out there.
I mean, I would hear them talk about other issues, but not between the two of them.
Okay. Actually, I'm going to be bold here. You can say no comment on this, but thinking about the way your parents popped out the babies one after the other immediately after getting married, social attitudes were different at the time. Did your dad get a vasectomy after baby number four, or was there, do you know how they kind of figured that out if Tanis would be the last one?
I never even thought about that, and I've never heard. Maybe my siblings might know this story, but I don't know if they made a decision on that or not. I do know that they were, you know, it was definitely an intimate marriage, definitely, yeah. Always was. Yeah. I don't know what the family planning was there.
Two more questions for you. Thank you so much for your time today. And then I do have more questions actually about your life, but we'll have to save that for a future episode. So thinking about your parents, zooming out a little bit, what do you think they did really well in the parenting game? What have you learned from them, and what would that legacy look like?
Well, once again, a lot of it has to do with comparison, because I could think about what they could have done or what they didn't do. You could do that, but I think what I would say is, once again, it's just the good, faithful, you know, day in, day out, week in, week out routine, and the dependability. Plus, I would say a huge factor, is the fact that they made church a priority in their world. We went regularly to church on Sunday. And were involved, you know, when we could. There was kids clubs, you know, Christian Service Brigade and Pioneer Girls, and we were plugged into that. So the whole Christian backdrop was definitely part of our world.
Although worth noting that you always attended public high schools and schools. I mean, the idea of Christian education was a little different back then.
There was the only other Christian education was the Catholic school, was the private Catholic school.
And then last question, what is one thing that you saw your parents do and maybe you've done a few things differently? I didn't word that very well, but yeah. What is one thing that you saw them do in terms of parenting that you've, you know, where you've made different decisions yourself?
Well, one thing my parents did, my dad did, that I wish he had done more of, and that is, it was not what he grew up with, and that is to have family, well, they used to call it family altar, but let's say after supper. Some families would maybe do it in the morning, but for us and many families, it was after supper. You get the Bible out, you read it, you talk about it, and then you end in prayer, maybe sing, although we never sang, but my dad did that periodically, though not very often, but I did notice it made a difference. It made a difference when he did that in the tone. You know, like everybody was tuned in and my brothers were tuned in. And I just kind of wish they had done more of that.
I think that brings us to the end of our questions. Mom, thank you so much for spending the time today. What a fascinating history and legacy. We're very blessed, aren't we, to have the McAlpines and Russells in our family tree. And yeah, any last thoughts?
No, it's interesting to reflect on what you've grown up with, but then in the final analysis to gather it all, you know, and before God to seek his face as to, you know, what's the best fit for your own life.
Thanks, Mom, for this conversation. And for the listeners, thanks for joining us on this episode of the Tim Cavey Show podcast.